Very good morning to you, and welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks for Wednesday, February the 3rd, 2021. My name is Glenn Murray, and I'll be your moderator for today's program, which goes from the usual 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. with the break, with a couple of breaks for news in that process. With me this morning is John Stout as producer and technical wizard. And I'll be depending on him for a lot of guidance and support, even more so than usual, because I might be a bit ring rusty and out of form, given that I have not been on a weekday program for quite some time. But I'm sure that with John's guidance and support, and with your criticisms, your support, your involvement, listening public, I will try to get back to my form as soon as possible. Before I go any further, let me say how much what admiration I have for John, not because I'm begging for any special deals today, it's just because I've seen him grow in his role as producer and technical operator over time, and I really admire the poise with which he now operates. I think I'll try to learn from him today and see if he can get back in good shape. It's good to be back. I look forward to this occasion for quite some time, and I'm happy to be back. I'm back to be able to share my thoughts and views and discuss a potpourri of items with you, whatever you seek to give. But my enthusiasm, my zeal has to be tempered by the national situation that we're in, the crisis that we're in, given the COVID situation, given the COVID-19 crisis. And so I wish I could come back to a country that is in a more positive and upbeat mood. But a national mood of seriousness and concern are necessary, and what we need to fit into the requirements of what we need to do to get Barbados, to keep Barbados going and keep it on track, to be able to combat and put up our defenses even more rigidly against COVID-19. And so I hope to be able to reflect the mood, but I will not be depressed. I don't think we need to be depressed. Because we're into lockdown too. And I prefer the term lockdown than pause. Because lockdown, if we are in a war, as a war has been declared on COVID, if we're in a war, we have to use war language and war jargon and war terminology so people get into the mood. And also because we understand the talk, and it helps to create the atmosphere and the environment which you want. No, I like the lockdown because a lockdown is more militaristic, more militant, more serious. Lockdown term than anything else. A lockdown, or you can say even the Americans may say was their bunker down, where you get into your bunker underground fortification and protect yourself and plan your strategy and come up fighting fit and fighting successfully. We did have COVID lockdown one. That was a novel experience for me, and I think for lots of people, because I think for most people, we would never have gone through anything like that in our lifetime. But this, we're into a whole different plane now with COVID, with lockdown too, because it comes at a time, and it presents us with a prospect where I can't remember anything certainly in my lifetime where we've been, where Barbados' future was such under stress and such under threat through nothing of our own doing originally. Our contribution will be how we manage this process, manage this crisis as we go along from here on. We shouldn't treat the lockdown, this lockdown too, as 2 weeks of off days or downtime, but rather we should put it and employ it for the purpose on which it's designed. The Prime Minister prefers the term pause, and she said that she wants us to rest, review, and revive during this period. I think those are useful thoughts, but I think we need to be very, very clear as to what we're doing. This is not going to be any walk in the park. From what we see all around the world is happening, we have a fight on our hands, a fight that we've never seen before. We also have to understand too that the virus that we're dealing with cannot be seen, cannot be touched. It can see us, it can touch, it can find us. And therefore, it is indulgent too in what I would like to think, a kind of guerrilla warfare, wherever you think you have it under control and covered, you're managing it, it changes. It tactics change the approach, and therefore you have to go back to the drawing board and come back fresh. That is why we need at all times to keep our punches up, keep our guard up, you know, do all the things that have been said. You've heard them over and over again. Don't take any chances. Assume that every person you deal with, even yourself, has COVID. Don't take any chances. Trust no one. Trust, but verify by making sure that they wash their hands, they keep their distance, they wear their mask, and they do all the things. Remember, too, also to boost your immune system, as the doctors and all the scientists are saying, that alone will have to give you a greater strength to be a deal with this, with the COVID virus, which it seems is not going anywhere in a hurry. So we're probably in for the long haul. And I think that, as I acknowledged very early in the process of the COVID, I trusted our scientists, I trusted our medical personnel, I trusted the team management. They said they were going, they were following the science. I trusted that they were going to fence because I trust the science. I trust our history of having top-notch public health officers. So against that background, that was the case. But I think we made some slip-ups, to my mind, which I will talk about in the course of my presentation, of my time we do between now and 2 o'clock. But I think, therefore, that we need to follow the instructions. The government sets the policy, devises the protocols, issues the directive, etc. Why we need to follow those, we should not do this lockdown on our brains. Don't lock down on your thoughts. Don't lock down on your critical analysis. Don't lock down on your ability and your intention and your responsibility to ask questions, challenge, look for answers, and seek any information that you think will be useful to your understanding what is going on in society, how best you can put your fight. Because we need information to fight and to fight properly. And because you seek information, it doesn't mean that you are not willing to cooperate, that you're not nationalistic, that you're not patriotic. And I must say that with the involvement of Ambassador Liz Thompson, GAM has brought some structure structure and organization to the presentation of its press conferences and whatnot. I think there's been improvement in that. It has more order, has more structure, like I said. It comes with a defined purpose. But at the same time, we have to be careful that I think there's a little more too much management of the subject matter. And there's too much seeking to control the narrative. I understand that in politics and the government, you want to get your story out, get your point of view across, let people know what you're doing, and so they can follow you and that you can carry out your responsibility in the country. But you cannot, government has to understand that you cannot control the narrative, especially in today's world where we have the social media, to which I hear frequent references in governments, in the press conference, the social media. The social media have replaced the old way of doing things in the sense that I remember when I was a reporter, somebody make a speech today, and then it would take, you hear something in the news in the afternoon, you wait next day and see in the newspaper to get the full text or more meat on the story, and then that would take time. You had all that time in which people would begin to shape and formulate their opinion. Nowadays, it's instant. As a matter of fact, while people are speaking nowadays, people who are following them online are commenting, correcting, fact-checking, challenging information. So it's a whole different world that you cannot manage and control like you once could. And I think that is something that we have to take in mind as we go through the process. Now, I've always said that, like I said, I trusted science, but what I was always querying, held myself prepared to do, was challenge the application of the science. How do you implement it? How it is done? How it's planned for? Has the planning been thorough and cover all possible imaginary angles of possibilities? look out for eventualities before they happen, so that you can factor them in and prevent them from losing your focus. So therefore, I'm all one for more information. I was one of those who, against much objection from some people, had been calling for more press conferences, more briefings. We got then it died out, then it's back now, you know, like I said, more structured, organized, and that is welcome. But I think that what we need then, and I'd call for quite, I'll ask about it for some time. I think while we have our political figures, while we have our public officers in the Ministry of Health, et cetera, pronouncing on matters and doing their jobs, I think we would have benefited, the country would have benefited from more if we had had an input from more in our public sector. More from the community, the Barbados community, where people had special expertise. For example, it took us a long time, but we welcomed them where a female doctor, Dr. Anne, came in and gave the benefit of her expertise to further guide the Barbados public. There's a doctor, I think it's Gardner Hardy, I'm not quite sure of him. That is the kind of expertise that we should have been getting long ago. Because I quite recall that government said that in the planning, the execution of its COVID program, it had had a team of people involving persons from the University of the West Indies, making their expertise, guiding them, informing their decision making and their implementation and whatnot. Now, I thought we would have benefited greatly if we would have had a virologist, somebody who studies viruses, who are expert of viruses and behavior, et cetera. If you had an epidemiologist who studies these outbreaks of disease and how they come about, I think that would have been meaningful. It would have helped us guide us. Because we are exposed to a lot of information. We are exposed to lots of information from CNN, MSNBC, BBC, all over the world. I think that the input of those persons who are very familiar with the Barbados situation would have been to take all that international information from World Health Organization and give us context and meaning, so we can better follow the debate and make more sense of what is given to us. Now, another thing is that I welcome the issuing the publication of figures every day or so based on, to give us an outline of what's happening with the testing, the results of the testing and whatnot. But I think bare figure, speaking for myself, I don't even try to remember every day's figures that get in my head. I therefore would have welcomed if we had somebody to go through those figures, put them in context, give us meaning, show us a graph, show us the ups and downs, so you can follow how the COVID is behaving, not in raw numbers, but in illustrations, which will help us better understand the process. I'll have much more to say as we go on, but let's go to the calls now. Good morning, your ambassadors. Good morning and welcome.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning, sir. Welcome.
Yeah, morning. How are you keeping?
I'm pretty good, man. I'm pretty good. Yourself?
I forever thought I could have been analyzed because of the situation that we're in and the kind of person that I am. I cannot say that I'm good because I'm always thinking about people that consider myself to be a very fair, caring, and humane person. I'm not perfect. I will never be perfect. In relation to people getting money from government, they know I may get some space on this, but I don't expect everybody to agree with me. I don't know where the money is coming from, but if it's coming from the government first, I don't think that people, especially in relation to NIS, I don't think that people who have not contributed to NIS should be getting a nickel wage. I remember in the past,
Before you go, getting, you're talking about the people, this current outlay of money that's going to various sectors, small businesses, et cetera. Is that what the money you're talking about? Or you're not reflecting on past money, are you?
No, I'm talking about what's happening now. And everybody saying they want this and they're entitled to this.
Let me tell you, this money could not be coming from NIS. NIS is not allowed to fund these kind of activities. So you can disabuse your mind of that and put your mind at ease. It's coming from government coffers.
But
government's treasury, from our taxes and from borrowings, and what the government has, their pool of money, and that money is coming from that.
Yeah, but would NIS be supporting that in any way? It may not be coming from NIS directly to the person, right?
No, because it is like you, sir, you have two pockets. You put the $10, the coins in one pocket and put the dollar bills in the other pocket. So your two pockets can't get mixed up unless you mix them up.
You don't want the pockets to make all the holes. You know that?
Of course, that's a possibility. But I would think that you'll be responsible enough to check your pants to make sure there are no holes before you put your money in it.
But I give it that rest of you, baby. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. No, you're breaking up a bit from time to time, so.
I have always said this, and I was...
Not hearing you, sir. I don't know if you... You might have dropped out. I'm sorry about that, sir. Let's go to our next call. Good morning, Brass Hats. Welcome.
Hello?
Good morning.
Hi, good morning, sir. Yes, I'm calling pertaining to, the close down as far as wages is concerned. I don't know if you might be able to help me or if the Prime Minister is listening, that she can give some sort of insight. Okay, well, I wanted to know, right, being we're on the closed shutdown, okay, I was paid for 2 days, and then for the next week, it'll be 3 days. So I want to know if it works like that or I'm entitled to a full week's pay this week, next week and the following week. That's all I want to know.
Are you a member of the union?
If I'm a member of, yes, of course, of the Barbers Working Union.
I think those are the best persons for you to guide you in this regard.
Okay.
They will know where you work in the term of your arrangement with your employer, and they're the best one to guide you and put you on the right track. I don't want to guess at it and mislead you.
That's why I say, you might not be able to help me. So I was wondering, someone listening, if they'd be able to at least to go on here to let us know, because some people get full salary for this week and for the following weeks that are supposed to come, and others just get him for the couple of days. Some may even get him for next week and the other week, just for these 2 days. So I want to know if someone there is listening, if they can call in and let us know where do we go from here, because I'll be home now for the next couple, for the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, which really affected my budget.
So I understand you're looking for a consistency. You want a clear understanding of what your rights are and what your entitlement should be.
Yes,
all the more reasons why you should call the Barbados Workers Union. I'm sure if you're a member, you should have the numbers.
Yes,
and tell them where you work. They would know the terms of your employment, and therefore be better tell you what. And if there's a problem with the employer, they're the ones who approach the employer on your behalf if there's any dispute or misunderstanding or contradiction between what is being done and what should be done.
Okay, sir.
All right.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Hello. Hi.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
How are you intending to treat this whole question of the lockdown? How seriously are you taking it?
To be honest with you, I feel it should have been done as soon as they had the hot spots with the bus crawl and stuff. But as I'm saying, it's a hard decision, and the Prime Minister, she is trying her best, and she can only do her best, and I tip my hat to her, to be honest with you.
So therefore, are you saying you're going to follow in? You're going to be following all the protocols and follow all the instructions?
Yes, I am. Yes, I feel they should, because I am for sure. Because I'm
your family?
Yes.
Are your family too?
Yes, we are. Because I have a grandmother, she's going 96.
Wow.
And I am a cancer survivor, asthmatic as well, so I have to follow protocols. I am following protocols, huh? As I am the only one on the outside coming in, so I got to follow protocols because I can bring anything to my daughter and my grand. So I just say, you know, she's doing a good job. It's just that we got to get, we got to get everybody know to follow protocols because some aren't, they still aren't, but every man, each to his own, I say, but that's the best thing we can do.
You follow the protocols and make sure you call the BWU so that you can get your employer to follow the protocols where your payment is concerned.
Okay, all right. Take a break. Yes, thank you very much.
This is Brass Tacks. The strange voice you're hearing in the middle of the week is Glenn Murray, your moderator for today. And please excuse my bad manners for not having given you or reminded you of the telephone number, 434-1790, and the WhatsApp is 266-4862, where you can use to seek to communicate with us. If there's another call, yes, the program is going today, it seems, for the first two calls, everything is related to COVID, as to be expected, given that the whole society, the whole country is enveloped by this crisis. Brass Tacks?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I have a problem here. I live in Hoggett Hall, right?
You live in where?
Hoggett Hall.
Yeah.
I have a problem with a ball valve that is on the waterworks side. No, it's not on my side. It's on the waterworks side. I calling them since October to come and fix this thing, and they would not come. And it's getting worse, and the water is now in the gutter, and it's breeding mosquitoes, and they want people to stay or prevent dengue fever by getting rid of the mosquitoes, and they are not coming and fix the water, fix the thing for 6 October, calling them.
Did you leave a name, a number, and directions, and details?
Sir, I left all of that since October. I was calling. I called this morning to tell me again to call again. I give them my account number. How much times they call, I give them my account number. How much times they call up, the thing is getting worse. It's on their side, it's not on my side. If it was on my side, they would have got a plumber to come and fix it.
Yeah, and what makes it worse, sir, is that you are virtually next door to Bobby's Water Attorney. Y'all are neighbors. One would think it would have been much more easier to get to you to fix your problem. Right.
I would let somebody to come and fix this thing. I can leave my information off here.
Yeah, you can do that. But before you do that, I just want to say that before you do that, I'm amazed that the Barbados Water Authority sometimes does not get back to people. It ignores people and ignores notices. They must be busy, but by now there should be a system that way we can.
I tell you not to waste water, and they're wasting water.
Right. As a matter of fact, the minister responsible for water resources last night in the House of Assembly said that made a speech about water and said that we were losing 40% of the water that is bestowed upon us by nature, by broken pipes and bricks and bad maize, etc. So that is part of the fault. So you would think that they would have devised a scheme where they can make quick response to these breakdowns, to these breaks in the mains, the leaking pipes, the leaking meters, etc., and save themselves a great deal of trouble and save Barbados water and save the country a lot of expense at the same time.
So if you leave your number, that the water is running, the gut is getting stagnant, it's breeding larvae.
Have you report? Who's your MP?
I didn't even want to talk about who's my head because I would like the water authority to fix this thing. That's true. Because sometimes the MPs don't do nothing. They get a lot of talk.
No, but you say sometimes. The MPs have a constituency office which the government finances, pays the rent for it, pays the staff, has a telephone number. So they are there to serve you. Use the MP to back up what you're saying to Barbados Water Authority and get your result. That's what you vote for. That's what you pay taxes for, sir.
Okay, I understand you, sir. But in the meantime, I would like Barbados Water Authority to come and fix the ball valve and start the water from running. It's starting to get worse and worse.
All right, we'll see what you can do.
I'll put my information off here and you can pass it on to them.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I have a nice day, man.
You too. Take care. Be careful with the COVID.
Yeah.